I love that we have so many talented people who are willing to share their gifts and talents in serving and leading others in worship. I think I lost my job this morning, and so if anybody's got something, let me know. So I so much appreciate them. Hey, so glad to be able to be here with you guys this morning, sharing in God's Word. This week, while I was in my office preparing just scrolling through Facebook, somebody posted this, and it showed up on my timeline, and it says this: "My bedroom closet is full of Amazon boxes. Zero presents are wrapped. Laundry is everywhere. Kids are screaming and fighting. The house looks like a crime scene. And the only food in the pantry requires a recipe that I'm not sure I can pull off. Also, I'm 90% positive I'm forgetting something or someone. This is fine. I'm fine." Look, let's be honest. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Look. Okay. As long as look, we're in a maybe we're the minority, but we still got our group of people. So I'll tell you what, this time of year could just be a little bit difficult, a little bit tough. But my wife, Katie, and I, we celebrated 20 years of wedded bliss this past May. All of those applause were for her. I mean, I don't know if she would call it bliss, but and while we were engaged, Katie, having the better understanding of the need to start our marriage off properly, had planned and scheduled premarital counseling with the minister who was going to be officiating our wedding. Now, we had multiple meetings for our counseling, and at one of the meetings, the topic of family and holidays came up for discussion. Now, I haven't even started yet this morning, for real. I mean, is that where we are? Okay. All right, I get it. All right. Just out of curiosity, did anybody else while their engagement time phase, you guys discussed holidays with family? Anybody else do that? Couple people? All right. So before we were even married, by the way, this was probably one of the best things that we did. I mean, for real. But before we were married, we began to feel the weight of the holidays and families. And for the first 10 years of our marriage, we kind of discussed this later on, we realized we didn't create a whole lot of Christmas traditions for ourselves. Because the holidays were wrapped up in visiting families and all of the things that come with that, which is what, travel time away, shared experiences, fair time spent in all locations with all relatives as much as you can, and the things you just assume, you know, that would happen, right? So for the first few years of marriage, we planned it out so that all persons were going to be able to be visited. In all of our years of running around, we really didn't create time and space for ourselves to make our own traditions and memories. Now, let me get this completely clear, because I'm sure at some point my family at somewhere is going to be watching this online. I love that time. It was great spending time with family, and we really enjoyed it. And in those times, there are still great memories that I have and I cherish. So I do appreciate those. And still, within those plans of visiting families, right, I'm sure that you know that getting together with family sometimes can be a little bit difficult. Yeah. I love this, that you guys are so responsive this morning, and I'm just at the beginning. We're going to see where this goes today. All right. So, but I know this, that maybe your experiences look a little bit different than mine, but those things can bring up some emotional feelings, some physical strains in our lives, all right? And on top of that, I'm not a confrontational person, so what do I do when stress and confrontation come along? I just ignore it. It doesn't exist. I'm like, yeah, whatever, it sounds great. It's like, I just smooth right over it and just move on. But actually, I'm learning to be a little bit better with that, so. But between the hustle and bustle and the shopping and the gifts and the dinners and the lack of sleep and the worry and the anxiety, the fear and the frustration, the hurt and the lonely and the loss, Christmas, let's just be honest, this time of year, it just gets messy, right? It really can get messy. Now, maybe for you, right, maybe the holiday aren't those things, right? Maybe this time of year really isn't that for you. And I want you to know this, that's okay. This time of year doesn't have to be stressful. In fact, if you haven't experienced this, there are some people in this room who would love to hear your story about that and how your holidays are different. You know, and honestly, it's okay. It's okay if your holidays are a time of rest and joy, because it's supposed to be. But if it's not, I want you to know that you're not alone. I'm sure there are many people in this room who can identify with the strain of having to go visit family. And even though they are family, sometimes it's not a healthy environment to be in. There are past hurts that you're reminded of, and there are strained relationships that need to be mended. Maybe for you it's not family, but really it's just been a year. Does anybody else just have a year? You know, we're trying to recover. We're trying to, you know, get back to, you know, some sort of normalcy. And I think, you know, maybe many of us or a few of us were able to do that. You know, maybe you have moved across the country and family isn't close this year. You know, maybe this could be a great year for you to begin your own holiday traditions. Or maybe this year you lost a loved one and the holidays are just going to be a little different. Maybe there's some financial strains and you've been waiting for your Christmas bonus to show up, and hopefully it's cash and not the jelly of the month club for the, right? If you bought a pool and your check hasn't come yet, you know, I'm just kidding. You know, in fact, this is so funny. Like, Katie and I were just talking the other night, and she asked me, how did we do it? And I'm like, how did we do what? What do you mean? Like, how did we go? Like, in the past, we would leave after Christmas Eve services, three services. We would pack up the kids in the car and all of our stuff, and we would leave, and we would drive to our family's house. Like, that's just what we did. And that's like, that sounds crazy, right? And I said, I don't know. I don't know how we did it. I guess we just sort of made it happen. Anybody else traveling the holidays? Yeah, it gets a little bit crazy. But in all of this, you know, things can just get a little bit out of control and crazy. But even in the holiday, things that are happening, all these things that are happening, and all the pain and all the stress and all the anxiety and all the crazy families, I want to remind you of this. That even in the mess, God is still at work. You know, have you ever studied, or maybe you've read just like the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew? You know, if you haven't, it records the family lineage. Yeah, if you would like to follow along with us this morning, just raise your hand and we'll get you a Bible. Those guys have been waiting for about 5-10 minutes there to hand those out. I'll do better next service. And so it records Jesus' family lineage, you know, like his family tree. And now I imagine if you were able to have them all in one room, you know, you take all these people and put them all in the same room at one time, I'm not entirely sure this holiday celebration with them would be the most quiet or maybe the least controversial gathering of individuals. You know, honestly, the people of Jesus' family tree, really, they're a bit of a mess. So this morning, I want to dive into this. I want to read this passage. The first part of Matthew chapter 1 is where we are. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And so it begins really with kind of a mess. Verses 1 through 3. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah, and his brothers Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. So, already in these first three verses in Jesus' family tree, we have a couple of stand-up guys who lied about being married and almost sold their wives out to other rulers, all right? We have a manipulating cheat. We have a group of brothers that sold their brother into slavery and lied to their dad about it and told him that their son was dead. And we have a prostitute. Sound like your family yet? Okay, maybe not. All right, here we go. It's all right. It's okay. Verses 5 and 6. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. All right? Rahab was a prostitute. Maybe her and Tamar could have had a discussion. Maybe they had something to talk about at the party. Ruth was a Moabite. Now, that doesn't sound bad, right? What's so bad about being a Moabite? Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 says this. No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even the 10th generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord. That's crazy. Now, I'm not entirely sure what you're thinking when you hear this or when you read this, but let me tell you what I think it says, all right? I think this is absolute evidence that God is for all nations and all people. It's amazing. We'll go on. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. If I ever have a son, I'm going to name him Jehoshaphat. Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. And Jotham, the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. So, now we have an adulterer, murderer. A guy who was supposed to be the wisest of all, but in all of his wisdom, for some reason, took 700 wives and 300 concubines. I don't know about that. Rehoboam ended up being a terrible politician. Uzziah thought that he didn't need to obey the Lord and ended up with leprosy. And Ahaz brought idol worship into the house of the Lord. So far, not a real stellar lineup of individuals, right? Yes, there are some people in there who loved God and who served God, but imagine the scandal of these people being in the line of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, has all of these people that he comes from. Verse 12. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud, the father of Eliakim. By the way, I practiced this. Eliakim, the father of Azor, the father of Zadok, the father of Akim, and Akim, the father of Elihud, the father of Eleazar, the father of Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. What does verse 16 say? That Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So in all of this mess of Jesus' lineage, his parents are two ordinary, unsuspecting, everyday people. See, God didn't use a family of wealth or a family of influence or some political family or some sort of royal standing. No. Instead, he used average, everyday, ordinary people who listen to God, who love God, who even question God sometimes to bring about his plan. So even in the mess, we see in his word that God is still at work. Many times in my life, I find that when I'm in the middle of the crazy and the confusing and all of the mess, I am encouraged to know this, that God is right there. Now, I want to be honest. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of it, I don't see it or I don't feel it, right? And those are the times that we really want to see it and we really want to feel it. But it's usually not until I'm on the other side that I'm reminded that God was at work through the whole plan. And now we have that opportunity to see that God was at work the whole time through Jesus' lineage. That we are on the other side and we get to see all of that. But I'm sure in the middle of it, it seemed very different. So this morning, I want to show you how God is still at work in our lives. Just as he was at work in the lives of those who were part of Jesus' lineage. So in just a couple of ways that we can see God at work, even still today. First off, we see that within this, and we see these people, that God is still in the work of restoration. See, God is still in the work of restoration. Think about King David, the man who is said to have a heart after God or have a heart for God, but still had sin in his life. Did that sin have an effect on his future? Yes. But God still restored David. I mean, consider Ruth, the Moabite woman who left and followed her mother-in-law after both of their husbands had died. God redeemed both her and Naomi through Boaz. If you've never read Ruth, let me encourage you to do that. It's a beautiful picture of redemption and God redeeming his people. Does anybody know who Boaz is and what he's called? He's a kinsman redeemer. And within this story, it is this beautiful picture of how God redeems. And a kinsman redeemer is basically somebody who is attached to a family, who's able to go and marry those people or to bring about the family line. He was able to go and to bring life and hope and restoration to both Ruth and Naomi. He was their kinsman redeemer. How many times have you said, or have you heard people say, that there is no way that God would ever use me again? You ever heard say that? I have said that. I have messed up so many times that I'm like, there's no way that God could use me again. I mean, like, this past Thursday, it's so funny. It's nearly embarrassing. This past Thursday, all week, leading up to Thursday, I'm like, hey, we got to go deliver gifts Thursday morning. Hey, we got the gifts coming in. We're going to go deliver gifts Thursday morning. Jody Moore, who is super awesome, said, hey, I need to be in here by a certain time. I'm like, yeah, not a problem. We're always here. I'm going to be here at 8:30 Thursday morning. Do you know where I was at 8:30 Thursday morning? I was not here. I wasn't in bed, but I wasn't here. And I was like, and then I was just driving around. I was like, oh yeah, I got to take my daughter to go do something. Totally blew off the whole gift wrapping thing. I mean, like, in like delivering presents. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Totally forgotten. I'm like, how is God still continuing to use me to do things? Like, I am the worst. I am absolute the worst, you know? But we have this wonderful reminder that God is in the work of renewing. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. See, repenting and turning back to God, this is where restoration begins. This is where repentance is where all of this begins. And repentance is more than just having this sorrow, this worldly sorrow for something that we've done. Repentance is having sorrow and seeking forgiveness in your life, but then making that change, changing that thing in your life and going in a different direction. And changing so that you no longer engage in those things, that you are new, that you are changed, and that you are different. See, God wants you to be restored. He is still in the work of restoration. Secondly, this morning, He is still in the work of renewing. He's still in the work of renewing. See, sometimes in our faith journey, we can get sidetracked or even completely off course. And when that happens, we have to get back on track and we have got to renew our journey. We have to renew our actions. See, and renewing is just that. It's an actual action. It's something you have to go and do. See, Paul encourages the church at Rome to renew their minds. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, what he's encouraging them to do is to be renewed, to rethink, to think differently, and to have a new thought and a new way of thinking. See, God is at work when He wants us to think and live differently. He wants us to have His mind. So when we have God's mind, when we renew our thinking, when we see things differently, when we see things through God's eyes, it changes our actions. Paul says that when we renew our mind, when we think like God, we will then begin to see what God's will for us is in our life. And when we think differently, we act differently. So now our minds and our actions are renewed and are different. So maybe like Solomon, we are able to maybe have some of that wisdom. Not the worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. See, God is in the work of renewing as well. He's also still in the work of redemption. See, if God can redeem these people that were listed in Jesus' family tree, don't you think that He wants the same thing for you? God is in the business. God's thing is redemption and bringing people back to Him. Redemption is for us today as well. Luke chapter 1, verse 68 says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and He has redeemed them. right? There was this huge celebration and announcement of Jesus' birth because of the promised redemption. As Luke writes that, it says, praise be to the Lord because redemption has come. His people are going to be able to be with their Creator. Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, the rock and my redeemer. The recognition that God is in the business of redeeming. Even David rejoiced in the fact that God is a redeemer. Titus 3, verses 4 through 6 says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, God is in the business of redemption. He is in the business of bringing us back to him, of redeeming creation. And in all of the mess, God loves you, and God wants to redeem you as well, even to this day. See, God is in the business of redemption as well, and he's still at work in that. You know, our holidays are crazy, and we prepare for this huge event. Like, our city prepares for it. Our neighborhoods prepare for it. And it's a lot of fun and it's beautiful, but it can be a little bit stressful for those doing it. But on the night that Jesus was born, it was just another night. Nothing special. Nothing to celebrate. There was no feast or party to be had. It was a normal night. People resting and preparing for the day ahead of them. Compared to today, the season can be busy and anxious and stressful and strenuous and worried and hurtful and sad and even lonely. We fill this season with the feeling of needing to buy gifts that we can't afford, and we fill our days with so many activities that we end up leaving very little room to pause and reflect on why we even celebrate. So this year, let me encourage you to do this. And I promise you, it's not too late. You can begin today to invite God into your home, into your family, into your life, and to begin to celebrate and to have that anticipation and that excitement and that wonder and that hope. See, this Christmas season, even in all the mess, let's let every heart prepare him room, because God is at work. He's still at work in restoring us. He is still at work in the renewing. And he is still at work in redeeming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for Jesus in this time of year in which we are able to remember and to celebrate that through Jesus, we have restoration. Through Jesus, we are made new. Through Jesus, we are brought back to you, Lord, and that even though we might feel like broken people and during a broken time, Lord, that you are still here. Lord, we were reminded that through the people through which Jesus came, his family lineage, Lord, that even through that you were at work making your plan come through, the plan of hope and the plan of redemption. Lord, we thank you for our time in the word today. Lord, we pray this morning that this season not be a season that's so full of stress, Lord, but instead that we are able to pause and to rest and to find the hope and the joy and the wonder of your son, Jesus. Lord, we love you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together.